remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. The abundant grace and mercy of God be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us all from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading this morning is from Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all round them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 130 responsively. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand? Yet with you is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your word is my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord.
More than those who keep watch for the morning. More than those who keep watch for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption. For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Romans. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
You may be seated.
We have a very long gospel reading, so I have decided to weave the gospel and the sermon together. And my hope is that the fabric that is woven will help us see more clearly what God is doing and who God is in our world today. John gives us a great story for this fifth Sunday in Lent, and it begins with the first verses of chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Don't you just love God's timing? Delay, delay, delay. It seems like that's the way our relationship is, the story of our relationship with God. First, we tell God what God already knows. Lord, the one you love is ill. It is true. Our Creator, our loving God, knows who is ill, knows what our needs are. And in the midst of those illnesses and needs, maybe even because of them, our Creator knows us and loves us. Jesus doesn't love just Mary, the one who sat at his feet and soaked up his every word. Jesus doesn't love only Martha, who was busy about many things, making sure the house and the meal were perfect. But Jesus also loves Lazarus, who is sick. He doesn't only love activity and prayer, he loves the one who is in need as well. But I wonder, why didn't Jesus just drop everything and take off for Bethany when he gets that word? Didn't he hear the desperation in that message? Didn't he hear the tone of that message? Sometimes I use that tone with God in my prayer. Didn't you hear me? Didn't I pray this before? Let's see some action here. Now, now, God. But it's God's time, not our time. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he's teaching us, that the glory of God is more profoundly, more powerfully seen in God's timing than in human timing. God is the victor, not only over blindness, as we saw in the story last week, not only over illness, but also the victor over death itself. We continue with verse 7. Then, after staying 2 days, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Judeans were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. Do you have friends like this? The ones who are always putting the brakes on your good ideas? The ones who are always telling you that there's reasons to have to not move ahead? The worry warts or the naysayers? Seems like there's people like that in every group. But Jesus doesn't listen to that. He doesn't take the path of least resistance. He doesn't let worry for personal safety deter him. You know, we prayed in our psalm today, out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. What good news it is to know that even when we are in the depths, that the Lord is with us there. Even when we feel stuck and unable to move ahead, unable to move beyond our grief, beyond our illness, beyond our doubts, beyond our bad habits, even when we are unable to move beyond, God is ready to come to us. Jesus is the light of the world, and he brings the light into the darkest places, in the darkest times in our lives. Continuing with verse 11. After saying this, Jesus told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, was speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Judeans had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." That last verse is the reason that we get this reading during Lent. This is the time when we're looking forward, looking ahead to baptism, the renewal of baptism, to the proclamation of our faith that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God. On the last Sundays of Lent, during these past Sundays of Lent, we have heard Jesus name himself as the light for those who are in the darkness, name himself as the living water for those who thirst, name himself as life for those who have died. Jesus has come into the world to give us light and life through the waters of baptism and through the word, through the refreshment and nourishment from this table, through the cleansing waters of baptism. We continue with verse 28. When Martha had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, The teacher is here and is calling for you. When she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Judeans who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." We usually picture Mary and Martha as quite the opposites, but in this story, their similarities are striking. They even use the exact same words. Mary says, repeating what Martha had said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." They both love Jesus, but they're thinking about their own concerns, their own needs. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. I think we echo those words too. We look at our own situations and we wonder, if we're going through all of this pain and sorrow in our lives all by ourselves. But the good news is that Jesus comes not to take away our pain, but to walk with us through our pain. Jesus came to be with us in our humanity, to be one with us, even to the point of tears. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Judeans who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" If you ever play Bible trivia, remember John 11:35, when the question is, what is the shortest verse in the Bible? He wept. John 11:35. It might be the shortest verse in the Bible, but I think it is also one of the most profound verses in the Bible. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Beloved, knows sorrow, knows weeping. Jesus, greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. This is our Messiah. This is our God who knows this kind of anguish, moved to tears, because he loves us so much and our hearts are breaking, his heart is breaking. The pain and the grief of those he loves causes him great pain too. I think this is very good news. I think it's good for us. It's good news for us because we remember this, that Jesus is also in tears when we are in tears. Jesus is crying with us when we cry, holding us in his loving arms. Continuing with verse 38, then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." This is one place I really like the old King James Version. It says, "Lord, he stinketh." There's a bad smell. And Jesus doesn't go away. He walks right into the stink. Well, you know what? My life stinks sometimes. And this is good news, that Jesus doesn't back away when our lives stink. When we are in a smelly mess, Jesus is right there with us. Life is often foul and messy, and that is exactly where the encounter with God happens. I was talking to a woman a couple weeks ago who's been away from the church for a very long time, and she doesn't feel ready to come back to church, to be a part of the body of Christ. She said that her life is such a mess. She needs to get things in order before she can return to God. She wants to be all cleaned up and sweet-smelling. But Jesus wants her now. Lord, there is a stench. It's a good scripture verse to remember when your life stinks. That's where the Lord is. Jesus wants to be in a relationship with each one of us, no matter how smelly our life is. Jesus said to Martha, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." These are words for us. These are words for us too. In baptism, we are unbound and set free, free to hear and to heed these words again and again. Unbind him and let him go. But too often, we're held back from the life that God wants to give us. We act like we're still tied up with those strips of burial cloth, still stinking, still waiting for the stone to be taken away. How many of us still feel the cloths, the burial cloths, that shroud that wraps us and makes us long for release, long for the light of day? What are the strips of cloth that are binding you? What are the addictions or the fears, the feelings of hopelessness and loss that keep you from being free? What is the grief, the anxiety, the poverty, the resentment? What is the burden of guilt or unforgiveness that you insist on hauling around that keeps you all tied up? But this isn't just about you or me. It isn't just about our lives. There's something else going on in this scripture passage. Pay attention to the fact that Lazarus did not free himself. Jesus called him to come out of the stinking darkness. Jesus is the one who initiated that action. And then Jesus says to the community gathered around, "Unbind him." This isn't about what we do. This is about what God has done and what God is doing through the hands and the hearts of others. We don't live our lives alone. We live as members of the body of Christ. Jesus has given us this community of faith, this gathering of seekers and believers. We are involved in one another's lives, setting each other free, leading us away from places of darkness, places of death and despair, into the light, into that place of freedom. God is still speaking to us, calling us from our brokenness and from our death into new life. The final verse of our gospel reading. Many of the Judeans, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. In 2 weeks, we will hear again the Easter proclamation. The tomb is empty. Jesus is risen. There is joy and hope in the face of death. Jesus has shown us that death is something that we do not have to fear. Jesus has shown us that God's power of life is stronger than death. Jesus came not only to unbind Lazarus from death, but he came to unbind us too. He came to set us free, free from the fear that death holds on us. He came to call us this morning. He came as our risen Lord, not only to show joy and victory over death, but he also comes to show us his mercy and forgiveness for all that makes our life stinky, for all that binds us and holds us back, and all that keeps us from being free. He came to call us out of our darkness into his light, to show us a way of living always for life, never for death. I am the resurrection and the life, he said to Martha, and to you, and to me. Do you believe this? Amen.